Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how you doing this week?
Doing great. How about you, Eric?
Doing fantastic. We're coming up on Labor Day weekend, the unofficial end of summer.
Yeah.
Getting the kids back to school, people getting back to work.
But of course, summer's still here. They're saying that the temperature index is supposed to be over 100 tomorrow.
Yep.
But it is what it is. So.
Well, you know what they say about New England. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. It'll change.
Yep. And a few years ago, they invented air conditioning and heat.
Yes. So this week, we're going back to the bookshelf with the Success Showcase Book Club. And the book we're looking at is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I think this is a crucial book for people, whether you're in business or not, to read. Because it really does point out the differences in the mindset and the activities of people who make money and people who don't. And let's face it, none of us wants to get to retirement and be struggling. You know, we want to be able to put money aside. We want to be able to live nice and have nice things. But there's a difference in the way people look at these things. And this book, that's what this book is all about. And the author talks about the lessons from his father, who was the poor dad, who was a college professor and worked for the government and didn't feel that he needed to worry about money because the college was going to take care of him, the government would take care of him, and he never really focused on it. And it's about the advice that he got from him and from his friend's father, who is the rich dad, who did not have all of the advanced degrees, but ran businesses, invested, and he taught the author about how to handle money.
Yeah, it's it's wonderful the way that the book was written. I mean, it talks again about the two contrasting dads and his real dad, who was the poor dad. Again, as you said, very, very educated, did well making money. However, he was spending it as fast as he made it, whereas the rich dad put the money to work for him. I mean, the bottom line is the poor and middle class work for money. The rich have money work for them. And one of the keys is what you do with your money, how you take advantage of the opportunities that are out there. But the bottom line is if you can go into business for yourself and have other people making money for you, and that's the way to make it work. And it even gets into talking about things like corporations and how you can shift the way things go, because we have a tax structure here where most people go to work, they pay their taxes, and then what's left over, they spend on that. Whereas if you own a corporation, you can go out and spend all the money you want on vacations as quote unquote business development and other things and all your purchases and so on and so forth before you pay taxes, because all you're doing is paying tax on the profit of a business after all those things are deducted. And that's one of the key things that are in there too. And the bottom line is you don't really have to own a big corporation to do that. If you incorporate yourself as an LLC or something like that, you can take advantage of that. And that's what you and I do as LLCs wrapped around our consulting businesses. So there's a whole lot of things in there. Philosophy wise, you know, it starts out with the old accounting jargon where it talks about assets and liabilities and income and expenses. And basically you have your balance sheet. Assets are what you own, liabilities are what you owe. And then on your income statement, income is what you make and expenses are what you spend. And the bottom line is what you spend a lot of times is going to lower what you own and so on and so forth. And it goes back and forth. So it defines, you know, different types of assets and liabilities. And one of the big misconceptions in there that a lot of people disagree with when they read the book is that your home is your biggest asset, when in fact, you have a lot of expenses and liabilities that are drained with that. And if the market goes bad, your home is actually decreasing in value, and yet you're spending more money. But the bottom line is that your income and your assets have to be a lot more than what your liabilities and expenses are in order for you to retire. You basically have to have a flow of income that's not dependent upon your job, but dependent upon everything that you own that's making money for you to cover all your expenses in order to retire.
Right. And yeah, he talks about, I love that he explains the differences in assets for wealth management and assets for accounting. Because in an, you know, when you're doing accounting, your home is an asset, your car is an asset, an asset. If you have a boat, that's an asset. But in real life, when you're managing money, these aren't necessarily assets, because there are ongoing expenses in terms of maintenance, in terms of upkeep for boats, in terms of storage. And all of that money comes out of what you're actually making. And he brings up, and I think it's one of the key points, he said, the important thing isn't how much money you make, it's how much money you keep.
Yeah,
that, you know, that's a big change for people to think. I hear all the time folks going, oh, you know, the rich should pay more in taxes. The fact is, the rich are never going to pay more in taxes, because the rich are using their resources to legally limit what they have to pay through corporate structures. And these same rules can be used by anybody.
Yeah, it's easier than it can be these days to just form your own LLC and start taking advantage of these things. But the way that the assets are defined in this book is, assets aren't just something you own. The rich have assets that are actually working for them. So an income producing asset generates a source of income separate from your salary. So these are things like investments. And he does talk a lot about, you know, basically putting money away, but not just in your normal, you know, low risk funds and so on and so forth, but gambling a little bit here and there on stocks and bonds and whatever, getting a little bit educated and putting those things to work. There's a lot of different ways to do that. People have their own comfort levels when it comes to that. But the bottom line is, it's so important to be doing something and paying yourself first. He talks about, he's a very, very rich guy, but the last thing that he does is pay his bills. He pays himself first through his investments. And the bottom line is, he'll even wait for people to scream at him before he pays his bills. And that is one of the keys to having your assets work for you. And, you know, obviously another golden example of somebody who's done that and done very well is our president.
Yes. And he taught, you know, in the book, he talks a lot about real estate, because that's where he seems to have most of his investments. But the difference between an investment property and your home is, with the investment property, he's renting that out, and the money he's making from the rentals more than cover the cost of purchasing the land, the cost of upkeep. So it's bringing in money. Now, I was listening to him when he was talking about so-called safe, you know, not taking advantage of safe investments and taking the risks. And at first I was listening and I disagreed with a few things he said, but then I looked at the date on the book, and it was originally published in 1997. So the reason that I have different ideas is because some of the things we're using now didn't exist in 1997. Because he talks a lot about mutual funds, and these are great ways, you know, you play the market, they're safe. However, most mutual funds, you put it in and it's a safe haven. You take, if the market goes up, these go up. The market goes down, these go down. Now, there are a lot more mutual funds, and even better, things called electronic tracking funds, ETFs, which actually track the market. You can get one for like the Dow Jones or the S&P 500. But now, these also pay dividends. So putting money in these is a great way to build a foundation. And he talks a lot about the importance of a strong foundation. He said, you can't just put a slab of concrete and expect to build a skyscraper. So building that foundation, now there's actually a lot more ways that you can do it than he was talking about in the book.
Absolutely. I mean, he talks about taking a look at assets. I mean, most people think about their home and their real estate and so on and so forth. But other types of assets, and these are things that generate income, are stocks and bonds, notes, intellectual property. The bottom line is that when this book was written, it was the very, very early days of the internet, but there's so many great ideas out there and so on, where if you get those patented and you start an online business, they're going to pay you off over and over again. And these non-job type sources of income are things such as dividends on stocks, the interest that you make on your stocks and on your bonds and on your bank accounts and so on and so forth, rental income. The bottom line is a house does become an asset for you if you buy an investment property and people are paying you rent for that. That's cost that's going to be more than your mortgage and your operating expenses there. And then the big one is royalties, because royalties these days for the things that you're doing and what you've designed as far as online businesses and so on and so forth go, those are huge. But that's the most important thing to look at is you need to develop things outside of your job that are going to work for you, whether you are sleeping or whether you were on vacation or while you were at work.
And that's also very key to what he's talking about, because he's not saying quit your day job and do this instead. He talks very clearly about keeping your day job, doing very well at your day job, because that's going to provide you the income to start all of this. And he said, one of the things that had gotten him started, he was working at Xerox as a salesperson. And all of these other investments, they were great, but it inspired him to work harder at Xerox so he would have more money to put into these things that were growing. So he's not talking about leaving a job behind. He was actually talking about what you do aside from a day job to grow your income and get wealthy. And it's very key, because when you talk to anybody who's made a lot of money, it's always about investments, whether it's real estate, stocks, bonds. Certainly intellectual property has been huge, but people don't make money from their salary. The salary is what they use to invest, and that's where they really make their money.
Yeah, and what most people do is they just use their salaries to pay off their expenses and their liabilities. And, you know, he talks a lot about, okay, you know, the money ran out before the month did. So by having these tools in place, these assets that are actually earning income for you, that's the key. And he lists you know, a whole bunch of things. What types of assets should you require? And this is 20 years ago. Okay. The first one says businesses that do not require my presence. I own them, but they are managed or run by other people. And that's an investment too, buying and managing a business and through a general manager and just collecting the money there. And I mean, that's basically what you're doing when you're investing stocks, when you're buying stocks in a very, very profitable corporation. That's part of what you're doing there. But he talks about stocks and bonds and mutual funds and so on and so forth. And again, one of the keys is the power of corporations, because it actually switches the way things are done. What people always do with money is they earn it, they spend it, and they pay taxes. However, with employees, you earn the money first, then you pay your taxes. And he says, I mean, in a lot of cases, you're working the first 4 or 5 months of the year just to pay your taxes for the year. And then the rest is left for you to spend. And what most people do is they spend that on their daily expenses first before putting anything away. What the rich people do with corporations, again, we talked about this, whatever the corporation earns, they can spend on anything they want, because they only pay taxes on the profits that the company makes. So all the business developments, all the assets that you buy, everything else that you do where you're just going to pay taxes on because it's coming through your normal paycheck, that's after you make your profit. And that's how the rich keep getting richer and pay less taxes, because is they're incorporated. And again, that is an option where if you develop your own idea and you start your business with that, you can do the same thing for yourself. You don't have to be a GM or something like that.
Right. Anybody can form an LLC or a corporation. The fact of the matter is, and you know, he mentions this in the book, all a corporation really is a binder full of forms that are sitting on a shelf. You can file these forms, become a corporation, put investments in the corporation, do freelance work through the corporation, whatever it is. But then have the corporation pay your expenses, because they can pay it with pre-tax dollars. And the more the corporation pays for things, the less they're taxed on.
And these things, again, can be things like business development trips and conventions and things like that, where if you are a normal employee and you're paying on your own dollar, that's coming out of your income after taxes. For a corporation, it's a business deduction.
Exactly. And that's really the key, is to use these structures. And he talks about quite a number of them. He talks about the, you know, incorporating and all the investments. And the fact of the matter is, if you do your research, you can do any of these things. It's not something that you need a lot of money to do. In fact, now it actually costs less to start up some of these things than it did when he wrote the book. Now there are actually brokerage programs that you can buy a single share of a stock and not pay a commission. So where you used to need, you know, $10,000 to open a brokerage account and really start investing, you can buy a stock for $35. And start building from there. And it's another thing that he hits on a number of times, which is really important. The earlier you start, the better off you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's never too late. He said, you know, I mean, if you are, say, my age and you haven't done it yet, you can still get in the game.
Yes.
But it's a lot better if you can develop those habits as somebody who's young. Lesson 5 in the book, it's called The Rich Invent Money. And I love the saying that he has in there. It says, financial intelligence is the ability to create as many different financial solutions as needed to turn lemons into lemonade. And he talks about financial intelligence as financial literacy. You do need to have a basic understanding of accounting and being able to read numbers, having some investment strategies, basically learning how money makes money. And this is a lot of what this book is all about. You got to understand the market, supply and demand, and be able to play with that. And then obviously you got to understand the law, the awareness of accounting, corporate, state and national rules, and the tax laws and so on. So, and then he talks about the types of investors. The most common type are the ones who just buy mutual funds and have somebody else handle that. But he says the second type are investors who create their own investments. They assemble the deal and they go out and do that. And he talked, you know, about a couple of deals where he would buy real estate at a drastically discounted price just because the owner had to get out of it. And he is immediately making money just by charging rent and, you know, having other people rent the house and that kind of thing. So it's really, really important. And coupled with that, lesson number 6 follows up. It says, work to learn, don't work for money. So the world is full of smart, talented, and educated people. Talent's not enough. They are only one skill away from great wealth. And if they mastered that skill and then another, their income would jump extraordinarily. The bottom line is you have to continue to work on yourself, and you have to overcome, you have to have the management skills for success, which is managing your own cash flow, managing your time, and being able to manage the people once you get that business going. And the bottom line is a lot of people are their own worst enemies, and because they're afraid, they never jump in. So it's really, really important to take action.
Right. He talks about the two skills that are so important for people to have, which is how to manage and how to sell. And he talks a lot about that, because you can have the greatest skills in the world. If you can't sell yourself, or, you know, make the sale to get books or, you know, intellectual property, etc., nobody's going to know that you have those skills. And he also, as important as he says it is to know, understand accounting and understand the law, he talks quite a bit about the importance of having strong advisors. He doesn't expect you to go out and learn everything about accounting and everything about the law. That's not what your job is. You hire good advisors, a good accountant, a good lawyer. And what he tells you is you pay them well, because they're making, if they're making money for you, then you're making money. So what you're paying them comes back to you in profit. And people, one of the examples he used, people are fanatic about tipping when they go to a restaurant for, you know, whether service is good or bad, but they hem and haw about spending the money to hire a lawyer, to take a seminar, to take a course. And these are investments that will come back to you in profits.
Yeah, when you get right back to the assets, one of the biggest assets is your own mind and your own brain, because that's what has to come up with all the decisions anyway. And if you're using that properly, the bottom line is what most people do when things are going bad is say, how can I cut? How can I cut? How can I cut? One of the things that people have to remember is they need to have a top line business strategy. It's not just about saving expenses. And top line business strategy is identifying the opportunities where you can grow what you're doing, start new things, and so on and so forth, just by using your brains and getting the things done. And all of a sudden, you have a whole lot more money available to do everything else. So instead of looking at the ways to cut things, if you're running a business, you know, for employees or this or that or whatever, or cutting an hour a week here and there, what are you doing right now? How can you make that better? How can you tap into another market? This is all part of corporate strategy and business strategy, and it's all part of what this is about. And the best way to do that is to really keep on top education-wise of your business, and as it talks about, is learning new skills and just making it work for you. But you have to concentrate on the top line, and that's what this is really is all about, is building your assets to a point where they are producing enough income by themselves to cover everything else and then some as far as what you're doing. And that's when you are able to retire.
And that's also one of the reasons he talks about paying his bills last and paying himself first. Because he talks about when the bill collectors are getting angry and they're coming for their money, he never says don't pay them. He said he's a big proponent of making sure you pay all your bills. But by paying himself first, and then paying the bill collectors, if there's not enough money to pay the bill collectors, he uses that as inspiration to go out and find ways to make more money to cover everything. And in the long run, you're making some money to cover the short-term expense, but when you create something that brings in money on a regular basis, then that money keeps coming in even after that expense is paid, providing more profit. And something else he talks about that allows him to find these new ways to make money is that when you learn new skills, you have to think broadly. You don't want to over-specialize. If you only know one thing, you could know everything about that one thing, but it's going to be very difficult to translate that one thing into something else. You could be the greatest pilot in the world. Flying a plane is not a talent that can transfer into, say, the education industry, or even to many business industries. So you need to be able to have transferable skills, things you can do over and over again for different types of businesses, and know about different types of businesses, because the more you know, the easier it is to gain and to make profit.
Yep, you got to leverage what you're doing. I mean, he does end the book with getting started, and he talks about the 10 steps to awaken your financial genius. He said, talks about the power of a lot of different things, but the first one, which we talk about all the time, is spirit. I need a reason that's greater than reality. What is your purpose, and what's your why? What compels you to become rich so that you can live your life and be able to help others? And then there's a lot of other things. You mentioned on one of them is paying your advisors well. When it comes to greed, when you're with any investment, you should ask, how quickly do I get my money back? He talked about being an Indian giver. He talks about things such as association, choosing friends to work with, your self-discipline, a lot of different things that are in there. And number eight, focus on creating money, not a consuming money. It's a lot of great tips towards the end. So it's definitely something that everybody should read. You're not going to agree with everything, but it will definitely, definitely enlighten you.
And it's also a great starting point, because there is now an entire series of Rich Dad, Poor Dad books. Not all of them are written by Robert Kiyosaki. Some other people have written them as well. But it goes into in detail all of the things that are talked about in this book. So there's a book on, there's a Rich Dad, Poor Dad book on how to start a corporation. There's a Rich Dad, Poor Dad book on how to run a corporation. There's a Rich Dad, Poor Dad book on how to invest. So this is the starting point. And then you need to keep going and learning more to really get where you're going. So we're coming up on the end of our time for this episode. So Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway from Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Well, off of my little summary thing here, the last page says final advice. Some to-dos to consider. Number one is stop doing what you're doing. Take a deep breath and assess what's working and what's not working. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting to make things work. Number two is to look for new ideas, which we talked about. Back here, I started talking about going to bookstores, but you can go onto the internet these days and look up anything that you're interested in. So basically, look for things to do that way and then take action. Most people don't. What you have to do is you have to start doing things. And taking action means just doing something, but also working on your own personal development, just making it an ongoing process.
Yeah, I think he talks a lot about personal development. That's a big theme. I think the big takeaway is to learn about how finances work. You need to become financially literate. By understanding how rich people got rich and the tools they use, you can then apply those tools in your own life. And you know, he keeps using the term, get out of the rat race. And that's really what it's all about. So keep learning to keep earning. Grow what you know, and learn how finances work. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the iTunes Store, the Apple Podcasts app, and wherever you find podcasts. Remember, make this your best week ever, and make next week even better. See you then.